Teaching new ways. Each That's Secret Ambition, the David Crowder Band. I figured that'd be an appropriate way to start tonight's Raw Talk, which you are now listening to. Welcome to Raw Talk. And the reason I thought Secret Ambition would be a good way to start tonight's program, because we're talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, when he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to set us free, to give us eternal life, it was the most amazing event in all of history. And every year, we celebrate that event as we celebrate Easter. Now, leading up to Easter, there's also this other little-known event known as Lent. And whenever I mention Lent and that it's something that I practice on a yearly basis, just like I go to Easter sunrise service and so on and so forth, I usually get two questions. Either, what is it? Or, I didn't know that you're a Catholic, which I am not. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'd be just as happy as a Catholic as I would be as anything else. But I always find it interesting that those are usually the first two questions people ask. What is it? Or, oh, I didn't know you're Catholic. Are you Catholic? And so I thought tonight on Raw Talk, what we would do is we talk a little bit about the season of Lent. What is it? What does it mean? Should we celebrate it? Should we not celebrate it? And go through that together. So if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 505-338-3700. Specifically, why do you celebrate Lent, or why don't you celebrate Lent? Tell me why it's a part of your yearly calendar as a Christian, or why it's something that you have omitted from your calendar as a Christian. I'm just curious to get a sense of what you think about this season of Lent. So give us a call, 505-338-3700, or if you're listening online at m88.org, drop us an email, studio@m88.org, and we'll take your email questions as well. So you can do either of those two things. Give us a call, 505-338-3700, or drop us an email, studio@m88.org. 505-338-5790. Forget that other number. That's the number for what I'm actually sitting over in the M88 booth. Thank you, Steve Madrid, my producer, correcting me as I just coast along without even thinking about it. 505-338-5790, or studio@m88.org. Why do you celebrate Lent? Why don't you celebrate Lent? Let us know as we go through this particular Raw Talk together. So, what is Lent? Well, Lent is something that has been around for a long, long time. It actually started around the 4th century AD when the church has observed Lent as a time of fasting, examination, abstaining from festivities, almsgiving, and so on and so forth, more strict attendance and worship. So it's something that has been around for many, many years. But from the questions that I often get asked when the subject of Lent comes up, it's not something that seems very prevalent in a lot of today's churches, which often brings up another question, because part of Lent is fasting. Now, that's also something that isn't a part of our regular Christian life. Not that it's something that we should do, you know, on like a weekly basis or whatnot, and you don't see it being done that often in the Bible. But nevertheless, fasting was a part of Christian discipline. And so the question comes up, okay, we don't celebrate Lent. It's not really talked about that much. Well, why is that? Is Lent too legalistic? Is it too liturgical? Is it, you know, too traditional? Is it any of those things? Why don't we bother with Lent? I hear some people say, well, you know, we don't have to worry about Lent because we're under grace and not under the law. Well, that's true. We are under grace, not under the law, but I never really saw Lent as being something that's legalistic. It's not mentioned specifically in the Bible, so it was never necessarily a part of the law. So I don't know if that necessarily applies when it comes to whether or not you celebrate Lent. Why do you celebrate? Why don't you celebrate? I don't know if it has anything to do with grace and the law. And let's be clear about one thing. Just because we're under grace and not under the law doesn't mean that we're free from things such as reverence, devotion, work, self-discipline. Actually, self-discipline, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And yet a lot of people seem to think, oh, I'm under grace. That means I can just kind of go mosey along my own way without worrying about anything, and God will take care of the rest. Let's never delude ourselves into thinking that. We're going through a book right now called Real Christianity together as the M88 DJs. It's a book that was written by William Wilberforce way back in the 19th century. And as actually, he was very instrumental in ending the slave trade for Great Britain. And one of the things that he keeps mentioning in this book, Real Christianity, is the importance of discipline, self-discipline as a Christian, not discipline as you're going to get a spanking, but discipline as in training yourself to excel at something. We do that in all other areas of our lives, be it sports, be it the things that we do at our work. How many seminars have you been for your work to improve on your skills as an employee? We do it in school. All these other areas of our lives, we're willing. In fact, we pay memberships to gyms in order to self-discipline ourselves, to stay fit and healthy physically. And yet, for some reason, we seem to think that being under grace and not under the law, therefore, that doesn't apply to us spiritually. And that's actually one of the things that eventually convicted me to make Lent a part of my yearly tradition as I lead up to Easter. I wasn't always someone who celebrated Lent. In fact, for most of my life, I didn't know anything about it. And it wasn't until my late high school, early college years that I started hearing more about this thing called Lent. And I found it intriguing because of the concept of 40 days leading up to Easter in which you sacrifice to prepare yourself. And I thought that was such an intriguing idea because in today's culture, there's so many distractions that sometimes it can be very hard, very difficult to focus on something. And I wanted Easter to be more than just yet another passing holiday. I didn't want it to be just a holiday where I get a basket with some chocolate and funny bunnies. I go to church and I wear some new clothes. And then afterwards, you know, I do an Easter egg hunt, have some ham, and that's it. It's all done and over with, and that was Easter. Yippee. I really wanted Easter to be more than that, and I found Lent a way to help me to do that. Now, what I want to know from you is, what do you think about Lent? Why do you celebrate Lent? Why don't you celebrate Lent this season leading up to Easter? If you got a question, if you got a comment about that, let me know. 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or if you're listening online at m88.org, send in your question to studio@m88.org. And don't let me do the entire show by myself, because I could, but it really wouldn't be that interesting. Let's face it. I could talk through the entire hour, and most of you would probably be asleep before we get to 8 o'clock. Now, you might enjoy that on a Sunday night, seeing as how you work in school tomorrow, but it'd be much more interesting if you joined in with the conversation. 505-338-5790. What do you think about Lent? Why do you celebrate it? Why don't you celebrate? Why should we celebrate it? Why shouldn't we celebrate it? What role should fasting have in our lives as modern Christians? You got answers to those questions, a comment about those questions, or you have a question of your own about the season of Lent? Let us know. 505-338-5790 or studio@m88.org. When I was examining this question of why isn't Lent more of a part of a church's celebration for Easter, and let me be very clear, I'm painting with a broad brush here, okay? I know there's people out there, plenty of people who celebrate Lent, and churches that also celebrate Lent. But if you take it in the broader scope, it's not as common as might be for other things, such as having Good Friday services, which is also not as common as it used to be, or having Easter sunrise services, things of that nature. Lent is just not as common. It's not as common as Christmas. So the question is, well, why is that the case? And I came across some interesting theories about that. One theory was that many liberal churches believe that Lent places too much emphasis on sin, guilt, wrongdoing, and they would rather stay away from that because they feel that type of talk is outdated. I actually found that particular reasoning about why we don't celebrate Lent to be very sad. Too much emphasis on sin. Well, the fact of the matter is, sin is very much a part of what Easter is all about. In fact, if there wasn't a problem of sin, we wouldn't have Easter, because Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He wouldn't have had to conquer death and the grave, which are consequences of sin. And so all of that would be moot anyway. So to say that Lent is something that we should avoid because it places too much emphasis on sin and guilt seems just a way to try and make ourselves feel better about ourselves. Oh, I'd rather not hear that I'm sinful. I'd rather not hear that I'm guilty. I'd rather not hear that there's judgment pending if I don't repent from my sins. That just seems like blissful ignorance that is willfully dumb. And that's not something I think we should necessarily participate in, the being willfully dumb part. In fact, the great news about Lent is, as we lead up to Easter, we spend that time in the season of Lent remembering the price that was paid for us and why it was so necessary. Because we were lost in our sins. We were slave to our sins. And Jesus Christ set us free from those sins. And I have found in the years recently that I have made Lent a part of my yearly tradition of Easter, that Easter has so much more meaning for me as I spend the time leading up to that, remembering my previous condition before Christ became my Savior, that I was sinful, that I was lost, and that Jesus Christ set me free when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. In fact, I remember the first year where I made Lent a part of my Easter tradition, when I went to a Good Friday service, I got very teary-eyed because the concept, the idea, the meaning behind the crucifixion that we remember on Good Friday just had so much more impact after I'd spent all this time preparing myself and studying scripture, praying, fasting, so on and so forth. And not fasting in the traditional sense. I'll explain exactly what I do for fasting when it comes to Lent here in just a bit. But that Good Friday, that first Good Friday when I had celebrated Lent, was a very moving time, and I'll never forget it and how much meaning it had for me. Well, if you have a comment about this, as we talk about the season of Lent, let me know, 505-338-5790, or you can send us an email, studio@m88.org. We have Frank on the line. Frank, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Oh, first of all, I love listening to you.
Okay, thanks.
God bless you. I just, got a comment. I grew up Catholic, and I've been saved the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, I think personally, fasting is something personal. You do that, you need to do it all the time when you get a chance. Not for healing, for somebody that needs it, or for financial reasons, or, I mean, not to do it one time out of the year. I mean, this is something that you need to do for yourself or for someone all the time. Giving up something, God tells you, when you get saved, you're a new creation. You're new creation in Christ. So Lent to me is more traditional. You need to do it all the time. It's just something you just need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand the ask.
Well, and I certainly agree with you, Frank. And actually, one of the things that was very interesting for me when I came across the season of Lent was it became a regular reminder of the very thing that you're talking about. Fasting isn't something that should just be once a year as a part of a tradition, but it is something that I should do on a regular basis. For me, Lent became a stepping stone to doing fasts on a more regular basis. It was easy for me to remember to fast before Easter because it's something that comes up on a seasonal basis. But once I got into that habit, I actually do a similar fast leading up to Christmas. I found that I was getting so distracted with all the commercialization of Christmas that it was very beneficial for me to do another fast leading up to Christmas. And then there's been other times where prayer and fasting has been very important, in like you're talking about, seeking healing for someone, seeking an answer from God, so on and so forth. So I absolutely agree with you. And in my particular case, Lent was a good introduction for me into the idea of a regular habit of fasting. But I certainly hear where you're coming from, that we don't want to make it just another empty tradition, do we?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, it's kind of funny, too. At the end of the Lent, everybody thinks they could go back and do what they were doing before they... That's what they were fasting for.
Yes.
It up forever,
That is so true. That's an excellent point, Frank.
As a Christian man, we need to, we're all born into sin. We're not perfect. We all fall short of grace. Mm-hmm. But if we continue to try to become what the Lord wants us to be in his eyes, because he's there with open arms, I mean, we can do it. We can. And I'm an example of that, and a lot of brothers and sisters out there are examples of that. We just need to continue to try and to be strong in our faith in the name of Jesus, bottom line.
That is good advice. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your comment, Frank. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I love hearing you. God bless you.
All right. Have a great evening, Frank.
You too.
Bye. All right. And if you have a comment that you'd like to offer, like Frank just did, about this idea of the season of Lent, and is it just an empty tradition? Let's ignore it. It has no meaning. And if anything, that's just going to trap us into meaningless legalism. Well, give us a call, 505-338-5790. More than anything, I'd really like to hear what you think about Lent, because I often get asked so many questions about this when I mention it in passing. I know there's some curiosity out there about Lent, and how does it apply to us as modern Christians, as modern evangelicals? What does Lent really mean to us? Should it have any meaning to us? 505-338-5790, or if you're listening online at m88.org, send us an email, studio@m88.org. I have Martin on the line. Martin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I just had a quick comment. I just wanted to say I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I use Lent every year as a reflection of what I can do with God and how I can improve my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always amazing how I grow during the Lenten season, and it's amazing, like, it's a new life for Easter also.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, let me ask you, because, you know, we're just talking with Frank. After the Lent season is over, do you just go back to your old ways, or does the change that you experience during Lent, does that actually help you change throughout the rest of the year?
Actually, I use these improvements to grow throughout the year. It's not just a seasonal event. I mean, I'm constantly growing in my Christian and Catholic faith, and it's a way for me to reflect on the sacrifices that God gave for us, or Jesus gave for us,
mm-hmm.
and how we can grow in His love and His sacrifices. And so it's a yearly thing. It doesn't end at Lent, but it just gives me a new perspective every year on how I can grow with my relationship with Him.
Well, that's very cool. Now, did you say that you're a Catholic?
Yes, I am a Catholic.
That's very cool. And so, obviously, Lent is something that is brought up every year in your church?
Yes.
Now, let me, just out of curiosity, let me ask, are there any specific practices that you do in your specific church each year during Lent that helps you to enjoy a successful fast every year at Lent?
We fast on Fridays, we don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sacrifice to God and to ourselves to help us and improve. And it's not that we want to. It's just a way for us to realize what He went through during the 40 days as a sacrifice.
Right. All right. Well, I was just curious if there was any particular things that your church did that helps make Lent more successful for you, because I'm always looking for good tips on, you know, how to make Lent a very special season. Well, thanks for calling in, Martin.
Thank you.
All right. God, you have a great evening. Yeah, God bless you, too. Well, if you have a question or comment like Martin just did about the season of Lent, why should we celebrate it? Why shouldn't we celebrate it? Why do we do this? Why shouldn't we do this? Give me a call, 505-338-5790. More than anything, I want to know what you think about it. I know what I think about it. And again, having me talk for the entire hour, that would not be very interesting. So if you have something that you'd like to share, 505-338-5790, or drop us an email, studio@m88.org. Well, we're going over a few of the reasons why, in general, some churches don't participate in the season of Lent. One of the other things that I came across was because it was a tradition, a quote-unquote tradition of the church, and that's the reason why some denominations, Baptist, Pentecostals, non-denominational, so on and so forth, not all of them, again, painting with a broad brush here, don't do it because it was a quote-unquote tradition of the church, and they don't want to get caught into anything that's a meaningless tradition. And I emphasize that part intentionally. Meaningless traditions, absolutely, we should avoid. But let's face it, there are some traditions that are very, very good, some traditions that are very, very beneficial, if you understand what the meaning is behind those traditions. Christmas isn't something that was celebrated in the Bible. Christmas is a tradition. Christmas became a church tradition. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because of the birth of Christ. When we understand what the meaning of that tradition is, it can be something very, very special, something very, very meaningful, even if it wasn't something that was necessarily mentioned in the Bible. I know Jesus' birth was mentioned in the Bible, but, you know, all the Christmas stuff necessarily wasn't, at least not in the way that we celebrate it today. Yet, it is a tradition that has a lot of meaning for people every single year, if you understand the meaning of it. If you're just going through the motions, it's a meaningless tradition, then absolutely. Maybe it's something that you shouldn't do. That's just being legalistic. And we don't want to be legalistic Christians. If anything, our love and our excitement about what Jesus Christ did at Easter should be the motivation behind anything that we do. And when you do that, all those traditions actually start to feel very non-traditional. At least that was the case for me when it came to Lent, when I understood what a special time and how much meaning it could have for me to prepare myself for Easter during this 40-day fast. That became something that became very, very precious for me. As I thought about the sacrifice that Christ made for me on the cross, I thought, well, I could certainly inconvenience myself a little bit out of my reverence and my devotion and my thanks, my gratitude to him for doing what he did for me. But that may be one of the other reasons why people don't like to celebrate Lent. It is inconvenient. Let's face it, in the society that we live in today, inconvenience is very taboo. We have stores that are called convenience stores. You don't hear about any inconvenience stores, except for Johann's inconvenience store, but they couldn't stay in business because they were inconvenient. So we like things to be convenient. You go to McDonald's now, they don't have just one drive-through lane. They often have two drive-through lanes, so you can go through twice as fast. It's more convenient. And yet, when we're asked during the season of Lent to give something up, like, oh, man, sacrifice, self-sacrifice, and to be disciplined to stay with that sacrifice through a whole 40 days or longer, depending on how you count them, that just doesn't seem very convenient. I don't think I want to do that. Well, I'm sure it wasn't convenient for Jesus Christ to go to the cross either, but he did that out of love, out of devotion, out of a willingness to obey his heavenly Father and to set us free from our own sins. What's a little inconvenience on our behalf as we prepare ourselves to remember what he did for us? There's also the question of being too legalistic. It depends on how you approach it. Just about anything in the Christian faith could be too legalistic if you become very dogmatic and, you know, militaristic about it. Is that right? Military? You know, you're very military about it. Anyway, the point is, anything could turn out to be that way. We always have to be careful that we are doing things out of a pure devotion, a pure love for our Savior, as opposed to, well, I have to do this because this is what's going to get me saved. Our works won't get us saved. It's God's saving grace through Jesus Christ that gets us saved. We just do things in return out of gratitude, or at least we should. And when we lose sight of that, then things become legalistic. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul is talking about running a race, running the race to win the prize. And he talks about how athletes all go into strict training. And I think that's an important reminder for us that as Christians, part of what we need to do is strict training. We need to be self-disciplined. We need to train as Christians, and that means sacrificing. Athletes sacrifice some of the things that they want in order to excel in their particular sport. They give up eating certain foods. They give up time to exercise and practice and all the things that they do to be the best of the best. You know, we got the Summer Olympics coming up this year in Beijing, and even now, there's athletes all over the world who are in amazing training regimes to get ready for the Olympics. Why? Because they want to win that gold medal. Well, we as Christians have a prize set before us that is far more valuable than any Olympic gold medal. And yet so many of us are content to show up maybe once a week. Okay, if we're really doing well, we'll show up on Wednesdays as well. Wow, now we're really devoted. And we'll sit there passively, listen to someone else talk and teach the Bible, which is important. And then after we hear that, we'll just go about our week without doing a whole lot more. You know, there's more to Christianity than sitting in a pew and keeping it warm. Although we do appreciate it when you do that. Warm pews are very nice. Although most churches don't have pews anymore. They actually have chairs. But still, a warm seat anywhere is always appreciated, especially when it's as cold as it was today. But as Christians, we need to do more than just be passive listeners of God's word. We need to be people who are actively engaged in taking the gospel to people outside of the church walls. We need to be actively engaged in spiritual warfare and prayer and studying the Bible. And yes, even fasting. Because these are things that will hone our skills as Christians. And when we are excelling in our Christian discipline, we are going to have that much more of an impact when we go out and share our faith, when we go out and live our lives as Christians. For me, that's something that Lent does for me. It's a intense time of training for the rest of the year, and especially leading up to Easter. And it's made a big impact in my life. If you have a comment about the season of Lent, we've already heard some good ones, 505-338-5790. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Is this something that we should practice on a regular basis? Why should we practice Lent? Why shouldn't we? Why do you? Why don't you? What do you think about it? Or if you have a question about it, I'll do my best to try and answer any of your questions that you might have. 505-338-5790. Or drop us an email, studio@m88.org, if you would like to send in an email question. Now, going back to this Lenten season and the purpose of fasting, there's lots of purposes for fasting, especially leading up to Easter during the Lenten fast. But these purposes apply at any time. And the book of Joel actually mentions a couple times about how fasting, when it is done in coordination with prayer, is a great way to help us seek God. How many of us wouldn't love to hear more from God? How many of us don't have things that we would really like to get God's attention with, that we'd really like to get into God's presence, but there's so many distractions today? Fasting is one way where we can really zero in and seek God with all of our hearts, souls, and minds through the sacrifices that we make during the Lenten season. Also, fasting can help set us apart. You know, you look at the story of Daniel, especially early on in Daniel chapter 1, they fasted from the foods that were being offered them in the kingdom. They went vegetarian, had vegetables and fruits instead, and that actually set them apart. And the king took notice and gave them all important positions because he noticed that their fasting did set them apart and also helped them stay healthy. And fasting can also help us with decisions. If you look in Acts chapter 13, before Paul and Barnabas were sent out, it says that the church was praying and fasting, that they were worshiping God and fasting as they made this decision about sending Paul and Barnabas out. So fasting can have a big part in guiding us as we try to make important decisions. And so there's a lot of good things that can come out of fasting. And leading up to Easter, I just feel all those good reasons are magnified all the more. Seeking God because of what he did on the cross, praising him and worshiping in prayer and fasting, thanking him for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and the fact that he rose again 3 days later, to set ourselves apart, to let God know that we really are his children, that we are going to set ourselves apart from the culture, that we are going to remove ourselves from this world because God has called us to be set apart. And let's face it, we all got tough decisions that we need to face. Well, the Bible says that we need to take all of our cares and anxieties and bring them before him in prayer. Fasting is just one way that can help intensify that desire to bring all these big decisions, all these needs to him in prayer. And during the season of Lent, those are just a few of the things that I have experienced. Well, what about you? What have you experienced? Or why do you think we don't need to experience those things? 505-338-5790 or drop us an email, studio@m88.org. We have Rob on the line. Rob, welcome to Rock Talk. What do you have to say, Rob?
Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate the conversation tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
Lent for me is such a powerful season of renewal. I can't even describe it. I am a Catholic Christian. I'm born and raised Catholic, but for most of my life was Catholic because my mom was. And as I got older into my 30s and all, and I fell away from a lot of things, eventually the weight of my cross came down upon me, one year. And it just so happened it was right prior to Lent, and I was going through some incredibly difficult times, thought of taking my life even at a couple points. And I managed one morning to finally, just that still small voice started calling me. And I finally listened to the voice and happened to go to Ash Wednesday Mass. And in that Mass, I can't describe the thunderstorm of grace and mercy and love that came pouring down upon me. It was very difficult to keep my emotional composure during this Mass, but finally got through it all and got to my car and just broke down, and just I've never felt that kind of power and grace and love fall upon me before. And that was the beginning of grace coming in a powerful way, and it broke the power of a sexual addiction on me. And so it was just life-changing from that point on. That's been 8 years ago now, and I look forward to Lent every year as a season of not only fasting and repentance, but also just reconnecting in a special way. It's changed me in so many ways I can't even describe it, and it's something that unfortunately, as your two previous callers have also mentioned, in talking about an empty ritual, for many Christians, especially those of us who are Catholic, it is an empty ritual, and it was for me for years. But when you finally have that encounter with grace, it just changes everything, and it goes from being an empty ritual to being just this powerful season and period of renewal and a remembrance of mercy and love that is there for each one of us.
Well, that just warms my heart to hear that, Rob, and you summed it up so well, I don't think I need to continue with the rest of the show. That was pretty much all I needed to say. That's good. Raw Talk's over. Thank you for tuning in. Rob, that's an amazing testimony. Thank you so much for being bold enough to call in and share that. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity for it, too. And I appreciate it as a Catholic listener, hearing you talk and hearing us out, too. So
yeah.
I just appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. I really do appreciate it. You have a great night, and enjoy the rest of your season of Lent.
Thank you, brother. You, too.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Rob calling in. If you have a comment that you'd like to share, what a great testimony. I'm so glad Rob called in and shared that. 505-338-5790. If you have a comment you'd like to share, or send us an email, studio@m88.org. And a point that Rob made and made so eloquently, powerful things happen when we are willing to sacrifice and to pray and to fast. God will move. I mean, he'll move at other times as well. But you look throughout Scripture, you see that there's something special about prayer and fasting. When they're done in coordination, where powerful things always happen and God moves in powerful ways. It's exciting. We have Adriana on the line. Adriana, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. I always grew up in Bernalillo, you know, like in the public schools and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the kids there would give up stuff like hot Cheetos or like chocolate or something.
Uh-huh.
And I never, I grew up a Christian, so I never really understood what the time of Lent meant.
Right.
I just thought it was, okay, I'll give up chocolate for a couple of days, you know?
Right.
And at one time, like last year, this girl gave up cussing. And I was like, okay.
Did she go back to it afterwards?
No, I really don't know. Her dad is a deacon of a Catholic church, so I don't even know how that worked out. But
interesting.
Like, I grew up Christian, and I never knew to celebrate the time of Lent, but I knew that there was fasting. And
right.
You know, fasting is very good and stuff, but I never knew to celebrate Lent or anything because I thought you just gave up hot Cheetos or something, you know, because I never really understood that.
Right.
And here's
what I would say about, you know, the hot Cheetos thing. And actually, I'm so glad you called, Adriana, because this was something I was going to move into next about, you know, how do you fast? What do you fast from? And I know there's traditions when it comes to fasting. That you'll find in various churches about this is the way it's always been done, and some people fast from foods and somewhat. What I came to understand, this was for me personally, that when I decided to do a Lenten fast, what it had to be for me, it had to be something that was a high priority in my life. It was something that was a big part of my life. And I'll be honest, something that perhaps may have been taking priority over God in my life. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm addicted to chocolate, so I do a chocolate fast. Sometimes I do a video game fast. Sometimes I fast from all media. I rotate it around whatever seems to be dominating in my life the most. And for me, the fast became something where I realigned my priorities, where I would look at my life and say, you know what? This is taking up too much of my time and becoming too much of a priority. That has to go, and God has to take the place of it. And so that's why I do various other things than what people might consider a traditional fast. Does that help you figure out why some people might do that?
Yeah. Now I realize that, like, I'll get a feeling like I shouldn't be on the computer for a period of time or I shouldn't do something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that just cleared it up. Thank you.
No problem, Adriana. I'm happy that you called in and asked that, because like I said, it was going to lead into my next point that I wanted to discuss. And so I hope you enjoy your Easter season.
Okay, you too.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Adriana. I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Well, 505-338-5790. If you have a question or comment that you would like to ask, give us a call, 505-338-5790, as we continue our discussion about fasting, especially the fast during the season of Lent. And part of the reason why I decided to do fasting the way that I have done when it comes to the season of Lent is because of what I read in Isaiah chapter 58. If you look at Isaiah 58, starting in verse 6, it says, this is God speaking, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" You know, when I read that, it just opened up all new possibilities for me when it came to fasting. That fasting was more than just being hungry, although that comes into play when you do more of a traditional fast and you fast from food, which I've done on rare occasions. But I realized, you know, fasting isn't about just this ritual of not doing something. It has to be replaced. A lot of people think that the key to success as Christian is to stop doing certain behaviors. That's only half of it. It's important to stop doing certain behaviors, especially when they're sinful. Yes, we need to stop, but we can't just stop. We have to do something else to replace those behaviors. We have to do something more. You can tell someone to stop thinking about a camel, but as soon as you say, "Stop thinking about a camel," they're thinking about a camel. But if you tell them, "Stop thinking about a camel and think about a kangaroo," well, they'll end up thinking about a kangaroo. That's just the way things work. It's not good enough just to stop and then try to think about it. "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." That's all you're thinking about. You're still thinking about the same thing. You're just thinking about how badly you don't want to do that thing. Why not replace it with another behavior? As you look through Isaiah chapter 58, I love how it points out that the type of fast the Lord wants is a type of fast where we're doing more of the things that Christ did, serving other people, meeting other people's needs, showing them compassion, sharing with them love. And for me, as I've gone through the Lenten season more and more, those are some of the things that I'm reminded of, especially just because of my personality. I know it's embarrassing to say this, but I have trouble being a compassionate person. I'm more of a problem solver. You come to me with a problem, I probably won't show you a lot of compassion, but I can definitely tell you how to fix that problem in a step-by-step process. But sometimes what people need is just compassion, to have someone listen to them. And as I've gone through the season of Lent, you know, that's what God does for me. He has compassion and he listens to me. And that's something that I've tried to do throughout the season of Lent. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 58, if you ever wanted to study a interesting passage about what it truly means to fast. We have Brian on the line. Brian, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Brian?
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
Good. Well, I grew up a Catholic in went to Catholic school and stuff, and Lent was, it was always like a real spiritual time for me, and leading towards the end of Lent was Good Friday, and it was always real interesting. I went with my dad to like the Stations of the Cross and such.
Right, yeah.
And we walked to Chimayo, you know, make sacrifice or feed the hurting and everything. But recently, I have my girlfriend, Julie, and her dad is a pastor, and he's been pastoring to me. So this past year, I've learned a lot more about the Bible. And I just want to make like a comment saying, like how can our like sacrifices like really compare to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us? And really, like, the real sacrifices that are pleasing to God are like the fruits of our lips and giving him praise and worship. So I just wanted to say that comment about, you know, just, well, those are the sacrifices that are really pleasing to God.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, let me be clear, the point of fasting during the season of Lent is not to try to show up the sacrifice of Christ. We're not in competition. All we're doing is saying, man, I appreciate that so much. I'm willing to give up something as well. Obviously, it's not going to be anything that can save, you know, when we sacrifice something for ourselves, it's not going to save ourselves. Only the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is what saves. But out of our gratitude, we can be willing to say, I want to set this aside and make God more of a priority in my life. And that is what I have found Lent to be so powerful and so meaningful to me, for to be able to do that on a regular basis. Brian, thank you so much for calling in with your comment. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good evening. Well, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to call in with a comment that you'd like to share as we talk about this season of Lent that we are currently moving through. It started actually in February of this year, and it was kind of tough for me because, you know, Valentine's Day, there's usually a lot of chocolate, but I was fasting from that at that time. That was a good time of testing. Now, praise God, the Holy Spirit gave me the strength to see me through, and that my wife was very understanding and didn't put any undue temptations in my way. 505-338-5790, if you'd like to share a comment about the season of Lent. You have a question about this whole concept of fasting during the season of Lent. Why is it a big deal? Why should we do it? Maybe you have a comment about why we probably shouldn't, why we should avoid it. Let me know. I want to know what you think. 505-338-5790. You know, one thing that I've tried to make a part of my fast, and let me just be clear, just because I've been talking about the things that I do during the season of Lent, that's not because I'm trying to point out how pious I am. Let me be very, very clear here. I'm not a very good faster. In fact, I'm pretty bad at it a lot of times. There's been several years where I didn't really keep my fast the whole time from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, where I didn't make go the distance. And so fasting has often been a struggle for me because I lack that self-discipline, although that's been improving, praise God. But I'm not trying to point all these things out to say, hey, look at yo, look how holy he is. Really not. All I'm trying to do is to encourage you. We can all do this together. We can be encouraging to one another as we fast. The only reason I tell certain people what I'm fasting from every year is because I know they will help me to keep that fast, because I know they care enough about my spiritual condition that they will encourage me in that. You know, when Jesus was talking about fasting in Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 16, he said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So the point of the season of Lent, especially when you fast during the season of Lent, is not to get people to notice you, to notice how holy you are, to, oh, he's so pious, look at what he's sacrificing, look what she's giving up. Isn't that, oh, I wish I was as godly as they were. That is so not the point of Lent. It's a very personal time where you are seeking God, you want to seek his face, and you're not concerned if anyone else even knows about it. For the first couple years that I participated in a Lenten fast, I really didn't tell anyone. And that made for some awkward moments when I said I couldn't eat a certain something, or I couldn't, you know, play video games, or I couldn't go to the movies or something. I worked really, really hard at avoiding explaining why. Oh, why can't you do that? No, I'm just not available to do that right. Well, how come? I'm just not, okay? Let's leave it at that. And there were certain people, you know, that I'd explain it to, but in general, it's really no one's business. For me, it's a very personal time, so it's actually kind of awkward for me to come on the air and talk about this the way I have tonight, because I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression that I'm trying to show how awesome I am, because I am so awesome. I am so far from the mark, but every year I feel that Lent, Good Friday, Easter, Christmas, these moments throughout the year, and even, you know, the feasts that the Bible talks about when it comes to some of the traditions of the Jews. You know, when it comes over to the Passover feast and the other feasts that they celebrate throughout the year, these are times that help me draw closer to the mark, to try and be more like Christ, to make sure that my life is aligning with all that God has called it to be, not what I want it to be. If you have any questions or comments about Lent, need to get them in. We only got about 10 minutes left in tonight's Raw Talk. And so if you have that question, don't wait until tomorrow and say, hey, I really disagreed with you because blah, 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 blah. There's not a lot I'll be able to do about that tomorrow. Call in now. Let's talk about it and discuss it intelligently. 505-338-5790. I'm assuming that you will have the intelligent conversation because, you know, it's me. 505-338-5790. Or send us an email, studio@m88.org, if you'd like to share a question or comment about the whole concept of fasting. You know, I found it very interesting. We've been listening through the Bible on MP3, going through the Bible, listening to it 30 minutes a day. Through Faith Comes by Hearing, they've had this initiative called You've Got the Time. It's been a big blessing to do that. But it was interesting how often the story of the Pharisees coming and asking Jesus why his disciples weren't fasting. And actually, the Bible only talks about Jesus fasting just once. Did you know that? Yeah, just once does it mention it, when he went out into the wilderness. Anyway, when they asked Jesus why his disciples weren't fasting, and he pointed out, well, how can they fast when the bridegroom is here? It's time to celebrate. There'll be times for fasting after that he's departed. But for now, it was a time for celebration. And the reason I find that so intriguing, especially during the season of Lent, because as we remember the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension into heaven, I'm also reminded there's a time when he's going to come back, when Lent will be no more. Do you realize that when you get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of things you won't be able to do anymore? You won't be able to fast to show your devotion to God. You won't be able to sacrifice anything more for him. You won't be able to share the gospel anymore. You won't be able to bring anyone into new life in Christ anymore. All that's going to be done. And you're thinking, well, why is that such a bad thing? Well, it's not such a bad thing, but it just means in the meantime, why not do those things? This is the only opportunity we have to share Christ with someone, because when we get to heaven, that chance will be over. This will be the only time where we get to discipline ourselves, to sacrifice things that are taking up our priorities, and to show God that kind of devotion. When we get to heaven, it'll be easy to do because he'll be there. Why not practice it now so you can celebrate in that much more joy then? You know, the athletes that are the best, they make it look so effortless when they're playing in the big game. Oh, they make it look easy. But what we don't see is all the practice that goes into it. When I get to heaven, I want my worship to look effortless because of all the practice I've put in leading up to the time of his return. We have Matt on the line. Matt, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Matt?
Just real quick, I wanted to I was driving to work, and I was listening to your program. And when that one guy called in saying about the different sacrifices, and you told him also, you know, that it wasn't about trying to outdo the great sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It was just expressing, you know, gratitude. I was sitting there, and it really hit me that everything that we do, our sacrifices that we do, God is enabling us to grow,
mm-hmm.
Getting closer to him. So we're sacrificing, showing our gratitude, but in the same instance, God's the one that's actually working on us. It's giving us more time to get closer to him. It's getting us more time away from some of the stuff that would take time away from being able to get closer to him, pray, read the Bible, that kind of stuff. So I just thought it was pretty cool when you said that, because it was like a revelation to me, too. So.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because that is a good point. Often growing isn't always easy. In fact, the times that we grow the most, especially, again, going back to the athletic thing, is when you face the most resistance. Look at what happened with the Giants in the NFL this year. When they faced New England, that final game of the season, played them so well, they lost, but it didn't really matter because as a team, they grew in that game. They realized that they could compete with the best. They realized that they could work and compete as a team and that they could be one of the elite. And we all know how the NFL season turned out. Well, fasting can be something like that for us as well. We may face fasting thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And yet, as we go through it, as we endure it, as we make it a regular part of our lives and we realize, oh, I can do it because of the Holy Spirit within me, then we start to realize I can do these things. I can be the type of Christian that God has called me to be. I can be a Christian who can change the world, who can have so much passion for Christ that it just exudes out of everything that I do. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, Matt. That was a great point.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, that's something that I was thinking about. That I was thinking about whenever I was listening to you guys talking.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going through hard times since I got back. I just moved back to New Mexico probably a couple months ago.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been trying to grow in my walk with God, trying to get things straightened out. And that was just a revelation. I figured I'd share it.
Well, thank you so much for doing that, Matt. I really do appreciate it. And I pray that this season leading up to Easter will be a time of growth and change for you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening, Matt.
You too.
All right. And finally, Lewis will be our final caller of the evening. Lewis, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Lewis?
Well, I was just thinking that Lent, it's very good in some ways, but Like, people, like, they don't really understand what Lent is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a lot of people, like, they think Lent is, well, they give up, like, meats and stuff, but I guess they do it maybe because of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, like, because, I guess, because their friends do it or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess when I, if you talk to someone that, like say, for example, like someone, I don't know how to put this, I guess.
No, you're making a good point that some people do it for no particular reason other than that's the way it's always been done, right?
Yeah, but it, like, says in the Bible about fasting, like, it should be done in secret. And a lot of people, when they, like, Lent, they do it, and then, like, they, like, oh, they brag about it, like, oh, like, I'm giving up this for,
yeah,
like, this for this 40 days. I mean, Lent should, it should be, like, all year round.
Absolutely right, Lewis. It should be something that should be a regular part of our prayer life, of our devotion life, and of our seasonal celebrational life. Lewis, thank you so much for calling in, making a great point.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, have a good night. Well, the season, I actually didn't get too much into the history of Lent tonight, which I kind of feel bad about because I said I was going to do that. Real quick, Lent as a season was first discussed as a 40-day season of fasting during the Council of Nicaea in 325, but some people aren't sure if that was intended for new Christians who are going to be prepared to be baptized on Easter, or if that was something that was for the entire church. And as it developed and grew, the 40 days, you know, what exactly were those 40 days? Some people don't count weekends. In some traditions, Sunday is actually a feast day. The actual 40 days are Monday through Friday, and then the weekends don't count. Sunday's a feast day, and so on and so forth. Some traditions, it's Monday through Saturday. There's lots of different traditions when it comes to the season of Lent. Don't worry so much about the traditions of the season of Lent. Worry about what sort of impact it's going to have on you. What will the season of Lent mean for you? How will the season of Lent change you? How will it prepare you for Easter as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The most amazing event in all of history. There's more historical evidence for the resurrection of Christ than just about any other event in all of history. It's true. There's so much evidence for the resurrection of Christ, and Lent is just one way we can prepare for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I find it very interesting as Paul is talking about the Last Supper. He says, starting in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" For me, the season of Lent is a time to do just that, to do it in remembrance of Christ, the sacrifice that Christ made, his body broken, his blood spilled, his life given to pay the price for my sin, a price I could never pay with all the fasting in the world, with all the prayers and supplications that I could offer. There is nothing I could do that would be pious and holy enough to pay the price for my sin. And yet Christ was willing to do that simply because he loved me. God was willing to sacrifice his son to pay the price because he loved me. And he loves you too. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. So when we fast during the season of Lent, we do this in remembrance of what Christ did for us. We remember him. We don't remember our own pious selves. We remember him. And the first thing you need to do if you want to experience the wonderful season of Lent, you need to make Christ your Savior. Until you understand in your heart what it means to have Christ as Lord, to understand that you couldn't pay for your sins, but Christ did when he died on the cross, that you couldn't live forever without Christ rising from the dead after 3 days. Until you understand that, Lent will just be another meaningless ritual on the calendar. But once you understand that, it will forever change your life. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to have Christ as your Savior, to have Christ as your Lord, to be so in love with him that you would be willing to sacrifice, that you would be happy to give up, to show your devotion and gratitude to him, not out of the empty, meaningless ritual, but out of a loving heart that's so grateful for what he did for you, we'd be happy to tell you more about that. You can send us an email, studio@m88.org. and we'll get in touch with you and talk more about what it means to have Christ as your Savior. Thanks so much for joining me tonight as we talked a little bit about the season of Lent. I appreciate everyone who called in and shared their thoughts and comments about this particular topic tonight. I hope it's something that has encouraged you. Easter's not that far away. March 23rd is Easter Sunday. We'll be at Lobo Stadium at 7:30 a.m. for an Easter sunrise service with the Harlem Gospel Choir. That's going to be a special treat. And if you don't have somewhere else that you're attending and you don't have any other plans, invite your neighbors, invite your friends, invite your pets. Come on out and join us for that. And it'll be a great ending to this season of Lent that we can all celebrate together. That would be a lot of fun to celebrate the end of our seasonal fasting during the Lenten season. Celebrate that together during a great sunrise service. Hope you have a great evening in the Lord. Thanks for joining me here on Raw Talk.